Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of faith-filled words was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in the UK and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Sometimes we make a mistake to put a date on it and say, all right, I'm going to trust God for the next week. And if it doesn't come within a week, I quit and give up. You know, the devil knows where your heart is in this. And if you've got 7 days that you're going to stand and believe God, then he'll fight you for eight. But if he knows that it doesn't matter, you're just going to say it and you're going to believe it, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. This is what you believe and you're going to do it. The devil knows that there's no give up in you, and he'll just tuck tail and run, and you'll get it easier. But there's a lot of people that are just going to try it. The devil can tell whether you're trying it or whether you really believe it. And sometimes you don't know. You think you're doing it, but you know what? Your heart's not established. But if you keep saying something over and over and over and over and over, it becomes established in your life. This is why, even though you may jest and say things that you don't mean, and you say, well, I wasn't believing that in my heart, you know, but you're just always talking death. You know, you're just, well, we're just joking. It's our 40th birthday, so we're going to give black balloons, and we're going to talk about I'm over the hill, and we're going to start giving you preparation H, and we're going to start, do you know what that is over here? And we're going to start giving you all of these things associated with old age and all of the, and you're just making jokes, and oh, I don't mean it. Well, because you didn't believe it, then you don't fall over dead and it doesn't happen. But you know what? It's still not good to just go speaking negative. I wouldn't do things like that. Because even though you don't believe it with your heart, if you say it over and over and over and over and over, it begins to impact your life. The words that you speak have either life or death in it. And so you need to get to where you control your words, even when it's something that you aren't serious about. You know, I still tell jokes. I'm not saying that you can't tell a joke. I may be wrong. I don't know. But I still tell jokes. I still have a good time, but I let people know that it's a joke. I don't lead them on and lie to them and stuff like that. And so I'm not saying that you can. You know, the scripture talks about jesting, which is not convenient. There is a right and a wrong way to jest. But you need to get to where you are serious as a heart attack when it comes to speaking, that you hold to the words that you speak. Amen? And let me just put a little parenthesis on this. I'm trying to wind everything up and tie it all together. Let me say that you shouldn't go to saying negative things. Like if the doctor says that you're going to die, I wouldn't confess it. I wouldn't go tell people what the doctor has said. Even though I don't believe it, I'm still not going to repeat it. I mentioned this earlier, the scripture out of Matthew chapter 6, where it says, take no thought saying. When you begin to speak thoughts, speak things out of your mouth, it begins to start having influence in your life. So I wouldn't repeat negative things. I avoid doing it. But you know, sometimes you have to say certain things. Like, for instance, look over here in John chapter 11. Let me show you this. This is Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And in John chapter 11, they sent messengers to Jesus to tell him that his friend Lazarus was dead. And Jesus intentionally stayed there 2 more days. And then he says, let's go back. And so, as you add all of this up, by the time Jesus got the message, Lazarus was already dead. And he said later in this instance, right here in John chapter 11, he says, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there so that I could raise Lazarus from the dead. So he said in that statement that had he have been there, he wouldn't have let Lazarus die. But he knew by the Spirit that when he got this message, Lazarus was already dead, so there was nothing to lose. He just waited another 2 days, and by the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. So anyway, this is the background And he told his disciples, he says, let's go back into Judea. And the disciples just couldn't believe it. They said, man, they tried to kill you last time you were there. I can't believe that you're going back. And he told them, he says, there's 12 hours in the day. If you walk in the light, you won't stumble. But if you walk in the night, you will stumble. In other words, he was saying, this is what God is telling me to do. And I'm going to follow the leading of God. And I'm safer doing what God tells me to do than just following carnal logic and wisdom. So then he said in John chapter 11, verse 11, he says, after these things, or these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. So the scripture explains very clearly that Lazarus was dead. Jesus knew Lazarus was dead, but when he told his disciples, he says, we're going to go back and wake Lazarus up. He's asleep and I'm going to wake him up. Why would Jesus say that when he knew that Lazarus was dead? I believe it's because of this exact principle that I've been talking about. Words are powerful. Words convey things. And to most people, the word death is final. Man, once a person is dead, it's over. We have wrong impression about death. What Jesus said is actually much more accurate. A person, when they die, they don't cease to exist. Their body just quits functioning. Their spirit and their soul goes to be with the Lord, is what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's really like going down. You go to sleep, you become unconscious. When you wake up, you're in heaven. So this was actually a very accurate way. And I believe that the Lord chose his words because he didn't want the doubt and the unbelief that the word dead or death would have produced in his disciples. You can go back to the 6th chapter of Mark, verse 5, and it says Jesus could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Even though Jesus was operating in the power of God perfectly, the unbelief of other people affects what I can do. It affected what Jesus could do. I'm saying some important things here. Most people don't know this. You know, when you get sick or something, when you have a need, you know what the typical person does? Call the prayer chain at church and get 100 people to agree and pray. That's one of the worst things you can do. Because the majority of prayer chains, what they're going to do, they'll pray a prayer and say, oh, God, heal this person. But then as they call the next person to alert the prayer chain, oh, so-and-so's dying, they're going to be dead. And they speak all of these words of death. And they really believe those. And then they'll pray and say, Lord, heal him if it be your will for Jesus. Man, you've just multiplied your problem by 100 people when you call the prayer chain. Jesus was casting the demon out of this demon-possessed boy, and when he saw the multitude come running together, he cast them out real quick because he didn't want all that unbelief in there. And yet most people, they just tell everybody their problem, and they say, how are you doing? Oh, the doctor says I'm dying, and oh, my back hurts, and my rheumatism acting up today, and you just speak death, death, death. You speak all these negative things. Even Jesus in his hometown couldn't perform many mighty works because of the unbelief of other people. He didn't want his 12 disciples to know that Lazarus was dead because that would mean that they would immediately think, well, it's over. There would be unbelief. He would have to deal with it. He was going to have plenty of unbelief to deal with when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He didn't want to say this to his disciples. So he said, he's asleep. But when the disciples misunderstood what he was saying, he did tell them that he is dead. In verse 14, Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. It is not wrong for you to state the natural truth, the natural fact, as long as you don't make that the end. As long as you don't say, well, that's just all that there is to it. I would avoid stating it. If the doctor told me that I had cancer, that I was dying, I wouldn't go around telling everybody. I wouldn't stand up at a meeting like this and tell everybody what I had because all of your unbelief would affect things. I would not go around confessing that. But if somebody that I trusted and I wanted their prayer in agreement, I could tell them the natural facts as long as I don't leave it there, as long as I counter it with the greater spiritual truth. Because look what Jesus said. He said, Lazarus is dead, but he didn't just stop right there. He didn't just say, well, Lazarus is dead. No, he said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go on to him. In other words, he put a positive spin on it. He spoke a negative truth, but then he countered it with the greater spiritual truth. Sometimes you have to tell people that there's a problem. Like, say, for instance, if you have this huge growth on the side of your neck, and you're telling people, I believe I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And people look at you and say, but you got this huge growth. I've heard people before say, I don't have a growth. I don't see a growth. There isn't a growth in my neck. That's not faith. That's denial. That's just ignorance. If you got a growth, you got a growth. But I would agree that you shouldn't go around talking and telling people about it. But if somebody sees it and says, look, I don't care what you say, you got a growth, it would be okay to say, look, I see that, but I also see that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. It's not wrong to state what is true in the natural as long as you counter it with the greater spiritual truth that you're believing. But even at that, I wouldn't be quick to speak out the natural, because every time you speak it, you're taking those thoughts. You're speaking forth these things. So I do agree that you shouldn't just go around telling everybody your problems. You shouldn't in prayer. There's so many people that call it prayer and all it is complaining. They go to God, no, God, the doctor says this. Oh, God, I heard. Oh, God, I remember dear old Aunt Susie died of this same thing. And you spend 45 minutes praying like that and wonder why you aren't getting any better.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the power of faith-filled words. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in Buxton, England. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1075 for CD or R3218 for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RD10 titled Speak to the Mountain About God when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to become a partner with Andrew Womack Ministries to help support this radio program and all of the other outreaches. You know, you could visit our website and learn a lot more about what's happening, but this ministry is impacting the world. There is much more than just this radio broadcast. We have a television program that reaches 2.2 billion people potential around the world. 15 Bible colleges. There's a lot of things happening, but you know, it takes a lot of money, especially when we give our materials away to those people who are in need. So if you've been blessed by this ministry and if you'd like to see it continue and be a blessing to someone else, please pray about partnership and then call us at 719-635-1111 and say you'd like to become a partner.